Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpiny, Head of Research Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 1st July 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Shan Hussain, Vice President FI FX Sales. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Welcome, Derek, and welcome to our listeners.
Thanks, Sam. Hi.
Quite a week we have had, not just in FX, but generally in markets with equities and rates. There is no FX Weekly this week, but instead today, Derek, you have just published the MUFG Foreign Exchange Outlook, which is our monthly report. Can you give our listeners an update on any FX forecast changes you've made, and perhaps explain a little of what lies behind those changes?
Sure, Sam. What an incredible week in the markets. You know, we've probably said that on a number of occasions this year, but this week has kind of hit new records, if you like. I just saw there a headline before we came up to have this chat. The 2-year German bond yield has had a record weekly range, currently 58 basis points. It's probably wider now since we've walked upstairs, but there you go. That's the type of rate moves that we're getting this week. And it follows on from what I said last Friday for listeners who listened to the podcast a week ago. You know, the dynamic in the markets have changed. It's suddenly gone from everything is about inflation and the worries about inflation to worries about recession. And that has really intensified this week for a few reasons. But like the data is rolling over. And I think in particular, we had the consumer spending figures from the US yesterday, where we had a decline in real consumer spending. And, you know, we're now in the kind of possibility of being in recession already, because of course we've had a contraction in growth in the US in Q1, and the data as it has come in is now indicative of potentially a small contraction in growth in Q2. So for all the talk of recession coming in 2023, we could be in recession. And while, you know, it's more technical than anything, because of the Q1 data was more about imports than real weak growth. You know, I think the markets are just looking ahead and seeing the tightening of financial conditions as really kind of reinforcing the prospects of recession, or certainly a pronounced period of weaker growth. And of course, the ISM data that just came out is just kind of reinforcing that, where we had new orders dropping to 49.2 from 55.1. That's the lowest since May 2020, when we were in the grips of the initial phase of the pandemic. Inventories jumped to 56. So the new orders inventories ratio is indicative of recession from the past. So just more data today suggesting that. So to come back to FX and the original question, Shan, you know, it was tough kind of putting today's publication out, to be honest, because when you're in these markets, it's, you know, you've got to put a final stop at some point and get the publication published as such. But we've had a profile for some period of short-term dollar strength, and then further out showing some dollar weakness. And we had Q3 as some modest recovery from the strength in Q2, which has just finished. So what we've done is we've raised our dollar forecasts for Q3, but we've still kept the profile in Q4 and in the first half of next year of the dollar then weakening, based on the fact that the Fed will pull back, will stop hiking rates, and indeed we're now for the first time forecasting a rate cut in Q2 of 2023. So that kind of reinforces that profile of dollar weakness in the first half of next year. But one of the kind of subheadings in the monthly publication today is basically we're on parity watch, and I think through this month and certainly through the quarter, the risks of euro dollar hitting and breaking parity is significantly higher now. And a lot of that is what I've just spoken about in terms of the tightening financial conditions, this extreme volatility, you know, losses and pain is in the markets, and that's going to be realized over the next period of time. And that means this kind of volatility and stress and asset price weakness is going to continue. And that's all indicative with dollar strength. For euro specifically, then on top of that, of course, we have the natural gas risk to Europe. And indeed, Ursula von der Leyen has just come out and specifically said that Russia is intensely cutting supplies of gas to Europe. We knew that, but you know, a formal acknowledgement of that kind of highlights the risk over the short term. And you know, natural gas prices in Europe, the front contract jumped 66% in June. We think there's more to come. Our energy analysts think that we have to get to ultimately demand destruction to kind of bring the market back into balance. And that could be mean the TTF front contract for natural gas moving over 200. We're at 144 today. And that would result in real pain, probable recession in Europe. We think the window for the ECB raising rates is shrinking, probably to July and September, and that's it. And we thought 75 basis points, but now it could be just 50 basis points. So everything is really in flux. But I think ultimately, all said and done, in a nutshell, we've raised the forecasts for the dollar in Q3 by about 3 to 4%, and with upside risks to that, given the pain and the unfavorable financial conditions that we think will continue through the summer months.
Well, that's all very interesting and a very timely reminder on the parity watch and the risks on the continent to keep an eye on. I'm sure our listeners will be interested to know, are there any other highlights worth mentioning? Where might we get some surprises and effects over the coming months, Derek?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I covered it in the FX Daily today, the Daily Snapshot, and it's getting a lot of attention in the media. Generally, the data that we had from the UK this week, and cable, as we speak, is down 1.5%. So we've had a pretty big move to the downside on sterling dollar. And this comes when we've just had the current account data from the UK for the first quarter. Now, largely speaking, current account data for all the major economies kind of goes by without really much attention given to it from the markets. But, you know, I think this is getting more attention, and for very good reason. The current account deficit in the UK increased to 8.3% of GDP in the first quarter. A staggering figure, by far a record. A record going back in a data series since 1955. Even if you pull out the gold volatility aspect, which the ONS tends to do to exclude the fact that London is an active global gold trading center. Even if you take that out, the deficit was 7.1% of GDP. And this is important based on what I was just talking about a moment ago in terms of tightening financial conditions. Current account deficits of that scale obviously intensifies the sensitivity of a currency to periods of risk aversion and risk off. And it certainly leaves the pound more vulnerable in these financial market conditions for further underperformance going forward from here. And, you know, we've run some analysis between percentage changes in pound versus different global equity indices. And the correlation is very, very high at the moment. And obviously that would imply downward momentum in equities is downward momentum in the pound. And in that sense, you know, we've broken 120, and, you know, we could very, very quickly move to between, you know, closer to 115 perhaps over the next month or so. So, yeah, current account data, pretty grim and really coming at a really bad time. And of course, there's a Brexit element thrown in on top of there with trade. Obviously, real exports were down nearly 4.5%. So not good news for the pound, and we remain bearish on the pound. And our forecast for Q3 is between 117 and 118. And then dollar yen, just very quickly in all of this, you know, we're still quite conservative in terms of the declines we have from here. But, you know, if these conditions continue and we're having plunging global yields, and if energy, crude oil prices, now crude oil is up today, but if crude oil, because of demand, global demand concerns, starts to underperform, that's a recipe for a bigger correction in dollar yen. Now, dollar yen is holding up quite well today because of the broader bid for the US dollar, but the yen crosses are showing considerable yen appreciation. And if these unfavorable financial conditions continue, we could see the yen start to perform a bit more traditionally, like a safe haven currency, because, of course, we're getting the decline in U.S. Treasury yields, which would be consistent with yen strength. So that's another currency to watch if current conditions continue.
Right. Thanks for that. Everything so far sounds pretty grim from what you've just told us, Derek. Is there anything positive for us to look forward to and really end on?
I guess the only positive that you could kind of highlight at the moment is China. And of course, that's a reflection of the zero COVID policy, which has been weighing on Chinese growth for some considerable period of time. And those restrictions are now gradually being loosened. And that's resulting in a pretty notable rebound in sentiment and in some of the economic indicators. So the Shanghai Composite, for example, up about 17% from the low in April. So that's a considerable turnaround in equity market performance. And then, of course, the PMIs, the ISM that I spoke about earlier in terms of the United States, the PMIs from China are reflecting that. And the services PMI jumped notably in data. And then the Caixin manufacturing PMI today jumped back above 50 to 51.7. So, you know, we're seeing some evidence there of the rebound in growth from China. It is specific to lockdowns, though. So while answering your question, I would point to China as something positive that's happening right now. I would be cautious about getting too excited about this because, you know, number one, as I've just said, it's very related to the recovery from lockdowns. And while that's a good thing, it's not sustainable, of course. And then secondly, and more importantly, you know, China's integration with the global economy means that there's no way you're going to have this, you know, positive, rosy picture about Chinese growth continuing if the United States and Europe is going into recession because of what's happening there and the tightening of financial conditions. So good news right now, but I wouldn't read too much into it. And of course, China's growth story is still going to be influenced by what's happening globally. And therefore, you know, the kind of the scale of recovery is unlikely to be vigorous and sustained over, you know, the coming months.
Right. Something positive to end there. Thank you, Derek. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. All the best in the coming days.
Thanks, Sham.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.